Hello and welcome to Relatable with the Experts. This is your host, Teresa Freeman. A very happy new year to you all. Cheers to an awesome 2025. We're thrilled to kick off our second series, Living Without Fear. Fear is something we all face. It can be a minor annoyance or a major roadblock in how we live our lives. Personally, I've struggled with fear at different stages in my journey, which is why I'm so excited for you to hear from our incredible lineup of experts. Each one brings a unique perspective from their area of expertise to help us understand and overcome fear. To start, we'll hear from our resident licensed clinical professional, Lenis Moynihan. She will dive into the role our feelings play in managing fear and share practical tools to navigate those tough moments when fear seems to take over. As always, expect real, actionable insights to help you tackle life's challenges head on. Let's jump into the conversation. Enjoy this episode. Thank you for coming back to our second segment. I'm with Lenis and our resident clinical licensed therapist. And we are now talking about our theme around living without fear. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I think this one is so important is I feel like fear can be defined in a lot of different ways. In the way that I, through my own journey in my life, but also just in working with a lot of different people, I feel like fear gets in the way of people like really being the kind of person they want to be. And I think there's lots of ways to maybe talk about or address it. So when I, from a therapeutic lens, I'm just curious if I sort of mentioned to you like living without fear, what does that mean to you? How do you, what's your reaction to that?
Well, so first I want to say that in the Bible, we are told 365 times, do not fear. So I think we can agree that is a across the board human experience.
Yes.
So there's no such thing of having a life with no fear.
Right. Right.
Like you're saying, you know, what is the fear, right? It could be, oh my gosh, my car died. My phone's dead. It's dusk. I'm on a dirt road. I have no idea where I am, and it's going to be dark in 20 minutes.
Right.
That's... I think most people would be feeling some fear.
Right. Right.
There's that. And then there's like all the other we've talked about, like, you know, panic attacks and how debilitating they are in the moment, and all you're feeling is fear. And a lot of times you think you're dying, right? The phrase is, I'm dying. You know, you even tell people I'm dying, you know, that's in that moment. That's a lot of fear you're experiencing, right?
Yes.
People with you know, social anxiety, you know, it's so hard for them to go and be around other people and talk to other people. You know, their experience, that is a fearful situation, right?
Yes.
So there's all kind of different levels, right, of fear. I think the goal is never to never have any fear,
right?
It's, can I work through that fear? Is the fear inhibiting me from doing what I want in my life?
Yes. And I will say, because I've talked about a bunch too, maybe not in great detail, but that, you know, I did have panic attacks for a long time. And I remember when I first went to a therapist and they said, when fear becomes like an interference such that you can't live your life in a normal sort of normal functioning, which means like for me at the time was like driving my car, going to the store, like kind of everyday functions. Like I'm not even talking about speaking in public, which can be a fear, but like kind of daily,
Sure. Yeah. You
know, when your fear sort of starts to interfere with that, or, you know, be an obstacle, that's maybe a flag to say,
yeah,
something's going on here. Like maybe, that's kind of what started my therapeutic journey. So, you know, I think there, to your point, there's like that kind of fear where it's debilitating and it is time to go see someone. And then there's this fear of like being uncomfortable and like deferring to that versus kind of pushing yourself forward.
Sure.
And do you see both kinds of people in your practice? Like, I'm wondering in your, like with your clients, do you see some that are, have this debilitating type fear? And then you see some that I'm guessing are more, it's not as severe, but are just having a harder time pushing themselves through.
Yeah. And I think when you talk about being uncomfortable, I think in our society, we don't value feeling. We are very intellectualized and we really kind of focus on thought, thinking, linear, right? Feelings, we don't really recognize they are an important part too. We also, right, this is part of our being.
Yeah.
And so I think what I see a lot with my clients is they don't want to go to the feeling, right? It's when we, I'm not necessarily going to say it's fear, but there's this huge uncomfortability about going within and kind of figuring out what are some of the feelings I'm having. When you talk about having a panic attack or having high anxiety, and let's say then we're in the room, you're not having a panic attack then, but we're going to try to do some work about around it. And you go into those feelings. Well, I don't want to start feeling scared in here, or, you know, feeling afraid, yeah, or, you know, whatever it is. So I think it's really a difficult journey to kind of go within to get to that piece of ourselves. Right. And then there's this piece, like you're saying, feel the fear and do it anyway, right? There was a book that was written on it a while ago, right? Kind of like you're saying, challenging myself, motivating myself, you know, maybe not on things that are, we're not talking about panic attacks here. Let's say it's, I want to do the 25-mile run, but I'm really afraid because I'm not going to be able to do it, but I'm really going to challenge myself and I'm going to try and I'm going to work through the fear anyway, and I'm going to do it. Even if I can't finish it, hey, I gave it a try. Right. Yeah. So there, like we're saying, there's different levels.
Yes. And I feel like, you know, one of the things when you talked about the feeling part of this, I think I'd love to like park here for a minute, because I think it's such an important thing when you say that someone says, okay, well, I don't want to like delve into my feelings here because that's kind of scary. This sort of unknown abyss of what that means. And I think I, like, you know, we talked, like I was very intellectual, or am. And so I think the key, the thing that I'd love to share with people or have them understand is that it's not that scary. Like, it, you know, when you can connect to the feeling, it actually is freeing. And it allows you to almost exercise it. And I think for me, I don't know if this, you can tell me if this is clinically textbook or not, but when I would have, you know, the panic attacks, what I think so interesting is that the actual kind of feelings of the feelings and kind of exercising that, the panic attack then has no like force to it, because there's nothing behind it, you know? And the panic attack too, I think what I learned that I never fully appreciated was that, you know, while I was in church, nothing here is making me nervous. Why am I having, I don't understand why I'm having it now. Like, why?
Well, you probably felt trapped. I'll say that.
Or just to your point around like where you're like actually not being distracted and that feeling self is trying to tell you something, but you don't want to feel it. So then it turns into the linear thinking, and then you become way more of your physical sensations and so on. So I think that like,
well, I went to church with you. And I felt trapped too.
Yeah.
So when we talk about panic attacks, I mean, I'm joking about the church thing, but a lot of times there is this element around feeling trapped.
Okay.
Okay. And so that's actually a real thing. I'm not saying that maybe was your thing, but that is a thing. But also what you're saying, in that moment, I'm sitting in church and it's quiet and I'm peaceful and I have no diversion. And I'm just in me, right? And what is coming up? Because, you know, something could be coming up, even if it's so conscious, you're not aware of it, but you're finally in that still place.
Yeah.
And right, is that what's triggering this panic attack? I don't know.
Right. So how do you see it show up in your, is it the way that I described, or are there other ways that you see this kind of showing up with your clients in terms of kind of fear interfering with their ability to be kind of, you know, operating life the way they want to? Relatable is brought to you by TFA Soft Skills, your one-stop shop for speaking, career coaching, or leadership development. If you have a need in one of these areas, Teresa and her team would love to help. Please message us at info@tfasoftskills.com or leave a comment on our many socials.
Now, back to the show. When you're doing therapy, it's kind of a process and it's a journey. So it's kind of, it isn't as simple as, oh, so this person's having some fear and it's getting in their way, right? It's kind of that whole journey of unraveling it all to kind of figure it out. And so I think fear maybe shows up more around what you're talking about, letting my walls down and being more vulnerable in this space where these feelings are going to come up. Again, we talk about, I do a lot of family systems work of, you know, this is how I felt as a child, and this is still how I feel today, but I never connected the dots that it started all the way back here, especially when we talk things about anxiety or panic or feeling trapped or out of control or those kinds of things. So I, you know, it's not, it isn't just a straight shot.
Yeah. One of the things I remember us talking about that I think, I mean, it's so much easier to say, but I have, like, once I realized this, I feel like it really is helpful when you tell yourself that there are certain things are safe, right? Like, my house is my safe space.
Yes.
Or my beach house is my safe space. Yes. Or being with my family is my safe space. Or having my, like, you kind of, you tell yourself the kind of power of your thinking, right?
Yes.
Versus, like, you are your safe space.
Right, yes.
And how do you really... I mean, that's for me, like, that's the big journey. It's like saying, like, oh, I can, this is enough in here. And I can, like, I can rely on me. And this is the safe space. And I feel like once you, I think it was you and I that had that conversation, it kind of, like, it's not easy because you do want to say, but the surroundings are what make it so. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can work on the internal part to be like, oh, I'm enough where I can be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm a broken record.
Yeah. Tell me.
Again, you're talking about internal narrative, right? Mm. What are the thoughts? What am I saying to myself? You know, if I'm driving and I'm having a panic, I'm going to be safe when I get home. I'm going to be safe when I come. I'm going to be safe when I go. I mean, you've told yourself a million times, well, I'll be safe when I get home. It is true. You're out of the car now. You are home. But that's what you're telling yourself the whole time. Instead of, like you said, instead of saying, I'm safe right now. I'm safe right here. I'm safe right now. Let's say it's in the car and you're driving.
Yeah.
You know, you know what? I can get off at this exit if I want. This is when we go to talk about taking care of yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I can get off the exit right now. I can take a break. Let me take him. I don't have to drive here in fear. I'm driving down the road. I'm actually going to get off, gas it, whatever, pull aside. Let me take a minute. Here's an example of all the things we've talked about, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you're taking care of yourself. You're advocating for yourself. You're telling yourself, I'm okay right now. You know what? Let's take a break.
Yeah.
All those things, right? This is all internal driven dialogue. And, you know, I've kind of started talking about the Bible. Christ talks a lot about the tongue, and the tongue isn't just right what you're speaking to other people, right? And our thoughts, that our thoughts are so unbelievably powerful. You know, these are the things that empower us, and we don't take, I don't think, and again, in this really fast paced external world, we don't think about it. Right. Especially, listen, you had a really stressful day. You're sitting in you know what I mean? You're already high stress, right? And then something happens. Your inclination isn't to be like, all right, I'm going to calmly say to him, you know, it just isn't, right?
Yeah.
It's a retraining.
Yes. Yes.
In a super fast world.
That is so reactive. Right. And that's where I think, like, too, you can kind of take your power back in a way that's like, it's not as reactive. It can be more insular. Yes. And I think to your point around, I also feel like it's kind of baby steps, but it has big impact. So to your point of like the example you gave where the person pulls over or the person kind of meets their needs, when you do that a couple of times, it's not, it doesn't have to be this major event. It starts to kind of seep in there. And then you feel more confident and you feel, you know, we talk a lot in my world around public speaking because people have a real fear of that. And one of the things that we talk about is that you're a tip. Normally when you're public speaking, you're a vessel of information.
Sure.
And people are interested in whatever it is that you're sharing. And it's not really about you as a person. And so if you can kind of disconnect that, this is like everybody staring at you and judging you, you're a vessel. And that helps people say, oh yeah, I'm just a conduit. It's not like, you know, so you can like, and then the more you do it, if you put yourself out there a little bit, you know, each time maybe you do a little bit longer or you make situations that are not as high stakes, you kind of get your reps in. I see it with the kids and practicing sports, like
absolutely
those reps. So I feel like it applies here too, with respect to, you know, fears getting in your way, find ways to get some reps in.
Well, yeah. And it's also the more you recognize, oh, I took care of myself. Oh, I can rely on me. Especially, we talk a lot. This is especially with a lot of people that didn't have parenting growing up. Right? So all of that was neglected. And so, it's also learning, well, how do I parent myself? Right. I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to lovingly talk to myself and parent myself. A lot of times we are so harsh on ourselves. We would never speak to our friends the way we speak to ourselves. Yeah. So if your friend was driving and all of a sudden started having a pain, you would be like, it's okay. Let's pull over. You're going to be fine. Right. What are we saying to ourselves? Oh my God, what's wrong with me? I'm in a, what, you know, what, why is this happening? You know, it's all this judgment and, you know, and so the more I think, again, we show up for ourselves, like we were talking in the last time about, I'm committing to myself. I'm showing up for myself. I'm like, oh, I can rely on me. Like you're saying, instead of creating the idea of a safe space or a safe person, no, I'm safe wherever I am because I have me.
Yes. And do you feel like, okay, so here's the thing. I want to kind of see if I can make sense of this and ask it in a succinct way, which is, you know, you've mentioned now a bit about, you know, family systems or, you know, dysfunctional systems growing up in those systems and the impact of that. And I am going to wager that there are a significant amount of people that came from those systems that don't recognize or necessarily honor that that's had an impact on them. Yet now, later in their life, right, they have issues and all this stuff sort of starts happening and they don't even think to connect it to that, like, you know, family of origin or not even that, right, whatever, you know, some of those things that maybe have happened. So if you're someone, you know, I think I was always looking for that linear connection. Like if I have a panic attack in a car, something must have happened to me in a car, where it's like, well, really, you know, it's because there was many times during very influential period in my life that maybe I was sort of left vulnerable and there wasn't a caretaker. And that's where that, so then the whole idea of like, oh, I can take care of myself. But I think for some people, you know, take a minute, if you're having some of this stuff in your life, right? If your fear is showing up or you're having things that, like, it might be worth a look back.
And I do this in my own life. I'll get to a point and I'll be like, okay, my life isn't working right now. Right. The coping skills that I'm using or things from the past, you know, I've done a lot of work, but it doesn't mean Even with all my work, I can't get triggered and can't get back into a spot where I'm using bad coping skills that I used a long time ago. So if you kind of, if it's over a period of time and it's, you're just kind of recognizing my life isn't working, like yeah. you're saying, I'm not happy. I am feeling more fear. I'm feeling more anxious. I'm, you know, don't, I am lacking self-esteem, all these things that are going on, you know, I succumb to Jesus meeting with self, right? Okay. My life isn't working right now. How do I go about addressing this? There, you know, therapy is one way. Sure. I'm not, you know, therapy isn't for everybody. I'm not saying that, right? So for some people it is. I think acupuncture is excellent. I highly recommend it. I recommend it to my clients. Acupuncture is another way to kind of, I believe in energy and moving energy, and it can move energy, and not everybody loves talking, right? So that's another form. I really believe in moving, some type of exercise. I think it's so important to us, our serotonin in our brain, all these things, right? There are so many things that we can do and add to our life in those moments to change the trajectory. Right now, like you're saying, if you've never done a lot of self-work at all and your life isn't working, then yeah, you know, I think it would be good to go see a therapist for you to kind of figure some stuff out, of course. Yeah. But I think there's just a lot that we can do to change our experience.
Agree. And it's so funny you listed those things, because I was going to harken back to our very first conversation when you talked about the whole self and you talked about the kind of holistic approach. And I'm finally, like, at this age, seeing it's all these different pieces working together. So the diet, the movement, your spirituality, whatever that is for you, whether that's just meditation or your kind of focus time of like reflection, doesn't have to be necessarily religious, right? But spiritual, then these the modalities of like acupuncture, which I started recently. And, you know, like, I feel like it's been such a huge blessing and improvement. So it's cool how, like, when you have all the ingredients together kind of mixed in, you see real progress and movement.
Yes, exactly.
Even for some of us old people,
that
have like been stuck, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So hopefully, people that are listening, you know, with this one in particular, I love, like, we got into some real details, and I love too the idea of like, where does it originate? And being able to kind of view as a person, kind of think through that. Is it situational? Is it more like maybe there's something
long-term.
That's happened? Yeah. Exactly. Long-term. And hey, there's a lot of different ways to try to get at it, you know, in terms of improving it. Because I think it's one of those things you can improve for sure.
Absolutely. 100%.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
A real pleasure.
Okay.
We'll see you the next time.
Okay.
Thank you, Relatable Experts. Your advice and counsel is so valuable. Thank you, Relatable Audience. Please rate, subscribe, leave comments, and share this podcast with others. Until next time, this is Career Coach T. Stay.